Amen. I thought so. It's a story that we tend to shy away from a little bit because it's one of those stories that just kind of projects immediately a sense of guilt, right? Because we read it so clearly and plainly. We've had a couple people come into my office when I first started here, and after we talked a little bit, I just printed out the scripture for them and gave it to them. I didn't say anything. I didn't interpret it. I just asked them to read that, you know? And boy, the next time we talked, they had it all figured out. They knew exactly why I gave them that. And they're working way too hard, and they need more Jesus in their life. They're too much Martha, and they're not enough Mary. All I did was hand them the scripture, you know? We convict ourselves, don't we, when we hear that story? We convict ourselves because of the culture we live in. This is a culture that's a doing culture. Just do it. Go out and do things. Get things done. Check off your checklist. Be as busy as you can. No free time. No laziness, right? Get her done. It's all we hear all our life. It's how we're trained. We become extremely busy people. Right? Extremely busy. And when we're not busy, we're worried about being busy. And when we're worried about being busy, we get anxious about the next things coming up. Tomorrow, the next day, next week. We're constantly caught on this hamster wheel, and we can't get off. Because we're so much Martha. Martha might have been on that wheel a little bit in this story. Now notice that Jesus doesn't say Mary has the right way and Martha has the wrong way. Because that's not the point at all. The story is Mary and Martha. And by the way, it's not gender specific, guys. Mary and Martha is who Jesus calls us to be. It's a matter of balance in our life, isn't it? And frankly, for Martha, and for many of us, it's a matter of just squeezing in a few more minutes for Jesus, hardly ever having the chance to lie down at his feet and just listen. You know, I like backstories in gospel stories. So you know this story now. Think of this backstory. Just think of what Martha was doing here. Martha welcomes Jesus to her home, right? Remember? And that was it. Then she had work to do. She went and was getting everything ready, preparing the meal, setting the table, dusting around, sweeping. Think about that. Jesus just walked into your house, and you're too busy for him. Martha was too busy to just sit and hear what he had to say. You think he might have had to say something important? If Jesus walks into your house, is it usually something important? Think you can count on it? Martha was too busy for that. Do you ever feel that way? You know, Jesus has something important to say to you every single day. When is he finding your time to do that? When are you stopping to sit at his feet and just listen? There are times to go to him and lay it all out. To go on your rant. He can handle it. He wants it. To bring it to the foot of the cross. But there are times to just sit, breathe, and listen. You know, our culture, I talk about our culture a lot. You know, I have this way of seeing it as an outsider almost. I don't really feel a part of it. I just feel victimized by it, if you know what I mean. Our culture, it wasn't that long ago. I think this was in the 70s especially. We were getting so out of control with being busy and folks of our generation, the younger generation, just getting consumed with stuff, right? That we had a lot of these just say no campaigns. I don't know, Nancy Reagan had that for drugs, but it wasn't just that. That's what got all the attention. If you went to life skill seminars, more than likely the facilitator, one thing they were going to teach you was how to say no. They would literally phonetically teach you how to say it because a lot of us had forgotten how to say no. All we could do was just say yes, and the pile kept getting bigger and bigger. We could hardly say no to anything. One of the little tricks was, go home after the seminar, stand in front of a mirror, and just watch yourself say it. No. No. We had lost the ability so much. Is that crazy? We had lost the ability. Oh, it's not really, is it? It still affects many of us today. Are you one of those people that have a hard time saying no? It's hard. You know, there's the other side of the coin, too, right? In the little book that Ann shared with me to inspire it, she wrote down some page numbers, and man, it was just awesome to read those things, Anne, that you picked out. It was just like God, coming directly from God. There's this one story about the man. This is the other side of not being able to say no. The man woke up and all he wanted to do on this day was do whatever God wanted him to do. I just want to do what God wants me to do today. Have you even ever been able to say that? I'm just going to do what God wants me to do today. So he woke up, and as soon as he woke up, there was God. God was there. And guess what? He listened. He listened. And God said, I want to bless your day today. I just want to know if you can do one thing for me, and you'll receive all the blessings of the day. And the man said, absolutely. This is exactly what I wanted. I can't believe you're here. You just tell me what it is. And he said, I want you to take these three stones right here, right, and put them in your bucket, in your wagon, sorry. Take these three stones, put them in your wagon, and I want you to wheel that wagon up around that village, up around there, through the forest, up to the top of the mountain. That's all I want you to do today. Three little stones, one wagon. I will bless your life. I would be so happy for you to do that. And the man was just like overwhelmed. I can do that. Right? I can do that. I can be blessed by God. Today, I'm going to do exactly what God wants me to do. Oh, and he got that wagon and he started off, you know, feeling awesome. You know, this is God's kingdom here. Oh, it's so light, hardly even sweating, whistling up a tune, you know. And he gets around to the first village and he goes through it. They say, what are you doing? Oh, I'm working for God today. I got my three stones. This is all for God. My whole day is going to be about God. He got right to the edge of the village. And there's a man said, what'd you say you're doing? Well, I'm taking these stones up to the top of the mountain. He goes, can I ask you this? I've got this rock here, and I've been trying to get it up to the top of the mountain forever, and it must be a God thing that you came by. Because I was wondering if you'd be willing to put it in your wagon and take it up for me. He goes, well, I guess so. I guess that's what God would want me to do. And he puts the rock in the wagon with his three stones, and then he starts to pull a little heavier, you know, but it's all for God. It's all good. I'm willing to sweat for God. That's not a problem. I'll do anything God wants me to do, right? So he comes around and he goes around and he curves right up towards the forest and he gets in the forest and there's a little hermit living in the forest. He said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm working for God today. I'm just doing what God tells me. God wants me to take this wagon up to the mountaintop. And the little hermit says, you know, I've had this bag of pebbles here for a long time that need to go to the top of that mountain. Would you be willing to take, you know where I'm going, right? Absolutely, I'll take your pebbles up to the top of the hill. Yeah. So it starts getting a little heavier, and the path starts getting a little rougher. You ever pulled a wagon over a rough path? Starts to tilt, he loses some, has to put them back in. This is getting hard, right? And he keeps going. And one more person stops and says, you know, I've had these stones forever, and I've been just looking for the person to take him up. Would you be willing to take him up? And he looks at his wagon, and he looks at the person. Yeah, I'll take him up. If you can fit him in. And they get him in, gets the wagon, starts off. About 5 minutes later, he's done. Still a long way from that mountaintop. He just sits down and prays. Says, God, I can't do it. I thought I could. I thought I could do anything you ask. But I just can't do it. It's too much. Can you come and can help me out? And just like that, just like it does with us, God shows up immediately. Well, what do we have here? God says, well, we've got the three stones you gave me. And then these are all other people's stuff that they gave me and that they put in my wagon. And God looks down and he takes out that big rock first and throws it down, collects all the pebbles and throws them out. There were other stuff in there. Some shale had been added. He throws it to the side. And all that's left is the three stones. And he says, this is what I wanted you to do today. This is all you had to do today. You didn't have to do anybody else's work. You just had to do my work. That's all I ask you. Can we all relate to that? You wake up in the morning with one thing, and by noon you got four things, and by the end of the day you haven't finished all the things. What happened? Didn't learn to say no. Didn't keep our focus on Jesus. Became a whole lot more Martha than we did Mary. Because we feel if we say no, we're not listening to God. God is not calling you to save the world today. He's calling you to do just what he asks you to do. Just the work he's got for you, not everybody else's. In fact, if the other people would learn to ask God for help, then all that work would get done. But most people ask you instead. Teach them to ask God for help. Don't take on everybody's load. Right? Learn to say no. The key to that is the Mary and Martha story. We need a whole lot more Mary in our hearts to understand and be teachable about God. Understand what's a God thing and what's not a God thing. Understand why we're doing things just for ourselves because we feel we have to. We feel guilty if we don't. Feel obligated. That's all on us. That's not on God. God has a plan for you. He'll tell you what it is. Stick to it. Your day will be blessed beyond belief. There's one more aspect of this story I want to share with you. I said this was a story about degrees. It's not about being Mary or Martha. It's about being Mary and Martha. Just don't forget the Mary part because that's what our culture does to us. But you know, this idea of degrees, and I prayed about it in our prayer. Did you notice that? I talked about the degrees of difference between us and other people all around the world. It's just degrees. We tend to have this definition of what is normal and what is not normal. And if something to us isn't normal, it gets treated in a whole different way than if it's normal. What do we determine is not normal? Somewhere along those differences of degrees, there's a line we all draw. And if you happen to be outside those lines, you're no longer normal. And we are, for some reason, allowed to treat you differently. Or we do. It's just what we do. We don't know how to treat you. You're not normal anymore. I want to share with you the story of Philip. Do you remember the story of him? Philip was one of 9 third graders in a class together. Philip was outside the bounds of normalcy in that class. I mean, he was in the class, part of the class, but he didn't have a lot of friends. He didn't get a lot of interaction. He was born with something called Down syndrome. And it was just hard for Philip to fit in with all the other students because they thought he was different, too different to be friends with, too not normal to really get to know. And so it never really happened. They went through all the school year and they came to Easter time and the teacher developed this project. Now, some of you are going to remember this, but there used to be, you want to make sure you get this down, that the pastor talked about pantyhose in the service today. There used to be this pantyhose that came in a big eggshell and they were called legs. That's right. So she had several empty eggshells of legs and she took them into class. And for recess today, everybody gets an empty shell. And I want you to go outside because it's Easter. And I want you to find something outside that reminds you of new life, of resurrection, of what Jesus did for us. And then when you come back in, we'll share them all. So they all went outside together. They were very excited. This is a great project. It's a great project. It's just a great idea. It's a good kids moment. They all came back in. They all had their shells. And they all lay them on the table. And one by one opens up a flower. Oh, of course, a flower, right? Right? And it keeps going. One opens up. There's a rock. And the little kid says, yeah, I know none of you would think it was beautiful, but I like it, and it's my rock. I like being different, right? And they kept going around. They had a butterfly. And the last one they came to was Phillips. And he hadn't opened his yet. So they asked him to open it, and he opened it, and it was empty. And the kids all saying, Philip, you just can't do anything right. You just don't know how to do things. You know, we try the best we can, and you're always messing up our games. And he said, no, I'm right. I'm the right one this time. That's the empty tomb. It's Easter. That's the empty tomb. That's what Easter's about. The vibe in the class changed after that. Philip got to make more friends before school ended. And shortly into summer, Philip passed away. When you have Down syndrome, it exposes you to a lot of immune weaknesses in your body, and you can die from some very easy infections. And he did. And everybody showed up for the funeral, of course, when a special child like that passes away. It was crowded, and the author of the book, Ann, says the most moving moment in the funeral was not when the parents walked in, his family walked in, but then finally this trail of 8 third graders walked in together with their teacher, and they went right up to the casket, and they put the empty shell on his casket because he had risen. Tomb's empty. He was where he's supposed to be. You see, we have a habit. It's a bad habit. We all have it. Everybody's guilty of treating people outside the lines of normalcy different than we do inside the lines. That's really what this story is about. Martha and Mary had much more alike than they had different. They just didn't know it yet. One year, we took the baseball team to the Dominican. I think I've told some of you this story. And there was a kid we had recruited from Grant County, freshman. He'd already gotten in trouble once for having beer in his dorm. At Asbury, you get in trouble for having beer in your dorm. But he went on the mission trip to the Dominican with us. And he was a little out there, a little wild, a little crazy, great kid, freshman, you know, typical freshman. And he was having fun on the trip and playing pretty well. And one day we were going to an institution for mentally and physically disabled kids. And we had no idea where we were going or what to expect. And it was way out in the boonies, I'd say. It was out of sight of everything, and you ended up going down dirt roads to get to it. You talk about out of sight, out of mind, that's what they did with these kids. The facility wasn't even finished yet. Wasn't even finished yet. Half built. And our two vans pull up to this place, and the kids are out in the yard crawling in the dirt. They've got these kind of makeshift crutches, and it was shocking. They were all either mentally or physically, you know, disabled in some way. And we were all sitting in the van going, you know, that's outside our lines of normalcy. What are we supposed to do? And the leader of our trip looked at us and said, it's the same everywhere you've been. Go love on the kids. And that kid from Grant County, Josh, jumped out of the van, ran right over to a little girl who's had, ironically, a wagon was part of her other leg to use to walk, picked her up right without hesitation, scared me to death. Like, I didn't know you. Picked her up and held her for the next 2 hours. After he did it, we all did it. We had a great day. Before we left, Josh Cummins got baptized in the Caribbean before we flew back. After he graduated from Asbury, he became my student pastor at Dry Ridge Christian Church. He started a Sunday night service, which became a new church in Grant County called Revive. And ladies and gentlemen, he just graduated from Cincinnati Seminary this week. Amen? Because he wasn't willing to be restricted by degrees on who he loved. Now, finally, look around. We're all different here. We're all different by a matter of degrees. Sometimes differences are greater degrees than others. Sometimes we start feeling a little funny about how different some people can be. No one's excluded from this. We are one family of God. And all the differences in degree should mean to us is that we love more, not less. So I think as a church, you know, as a community of believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, let's open our heart to what's around us right here at Vine Street Christian Church, who God has sent to us and put in our midst, who all the differences that exist among us and between us, who especially might be out on some area where I'm just not used to, I'm not comfortable with. Think about that and pray about that, because I'm here to tell you, and Mary and Martha will tell you the same thing, those are the ones you're called to love today. The ones on the edges, the ones on the margins, the ones that tend to be left aside if you're not there to love them. Amen? Amen. Thank you for listening. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.